How about this baseball team? Taking another series. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and Luke Sloan on the updates this morning. John, how about these Tigers? And welcome back, Wenzel Perez.
Yeah, how about that? It's the wizardry. I think there's a crystal ball. There's a Harry Potter wizard wand that AJ Hinch uses because he seems to have the answer before he needs the answer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because it's hey, you bring up Jace Young. And defensively, you get what you need. Then he goes down. And defensively, again, you get it from the left fielder that made the catches in the outfield. Why am I
Riley
drawing a blank
Green?
This early? No.
He made a nice catch in the first inning. Who are you talking about? Perez?
No.
Javi? Meadows? Carpenter?
No, Rule 5 from a couple years ago.
Badu?
Badu, yeah. Yes. Akil Badu. How could I not remember Akil Badu's name?
What are you
name?
Doing in my car?
Yeah.
How could you forget?
Yeah, but Akil Badu makes great plays in the outfield.
While he's here. Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, insert Matt Vierling, which we thought was going to be
a little jolt.
Yeah, a little jolt. It wasn't necessarily a great jolt, but now he's back on the 10-day IL. And insert, you know, next just impactful player, Wenzel Perez.
You know what it is? Before they even have problems, they have solutions. And we'll go live to Hogwarts later today with AJ Hinch, get some of his thoughts on this baseball team. But, yeah. John, it's a great point. Like, Matt Vierling was, hey, he's coming. Here's the issue. He's hurt already, and I'm concerned because shoulder inflammation feels like, did it ever fully heal, and does he need surgery? But before you can even work yourself into a concern or a panic, the first at-bat for Perez, he hits a home run.
Yeah.
The idea here
third pitch he's seen.
Hey, Vierling's a guy you can play all over the diamond. Well, it's a good thing you found a second Vierling in Javi Baez. Like, they already have the solution. It's remarkable how resilient this baseball team is because nobody's happy about losing three straight to the Guardians, okay? That may be sticking out in the back of your mind. But what do? They rattle off three in a row. Mm-hmm. They maintain a healthy cushion in the division, and they win another series. Chance to sweep the Giants today at 110.
And it's a San Francisco team that, you know, coming into the series, was in second place in their division. Now, they're still, you know, tied for second place. They played a couple more games than the Padres, but they're right there trying to compete with the Dodgers, trying to keep pace with what people thought going into the season might be a record-setting pace by the Dodgers. Now, I don't think the Dodgers are going to actually break the record for most wins, but it's a formidable foe. And the Giants, they have a sense of urgency. And they know how valuable every single game, every single win is. Every, you know, one of 162 coming in and losing a series to the Tigers, not helping their cause.
What do you think happens with Vierling here? Because we were texting yesterday when the news broke, and Tom had been on this from the jump. The idea that I don't know if a baseball player can truly heal because he's not a regular Joe. He's got to throw. And if he needs surgery, he's done for the season. I think they may have tried to do this without surgery, but the setback has me thinking that may be the way this goes.
That, yes. It feels like it maybe is heading in that direction. And whether or not he had a surgery in March when this initial injury, you know, presented itself.
Right.
Or he has it in June, maybe even July. Maybe they give him this 10 days and say, you know what,
let's
give it one more shot because it's just coming back up. Your workload was increased. Maybe we pushed it a little bit. We're going to give you 10 days, you know, and then we'll work you back into the lineup. We'll see how this works. I think they're kind of in that gray area where if he had surgery,
if
he needs it.
Yeah.
And he had it in March, it probably wouldn't make much of a difference whether it was March or June in regards to him being ready for
26.
Yeah, 26 in spring training in 26. So
you may as well see if he can rehab it. And they still may be of that belief. I'm not sure how deep into that AJ wants to get with us today, but it is a question about concern level with Vierling, but it pales in comparison to this team's ability to rally and figure it out without all these center fielders when the season began. And look, Parker Meadows is still someone who we expect to play baseball this season. So there are even more reinforcements coming for this team.
Yeah, and it's all a matter of timing. It's a matter of matchups, and that's where, you know, we bring out the wizard's wand for AJ Hinch, and it's okay. Sometimes when you bring a player up, right, they come in, they have an initial impact because they're so juiced. They take their swings, their cuts. Now let's just see if it's something that Wincell Perez can sustain. Which, you know, last year he was productive.
But the key is they're not counting on any of these guys to be superhuman.
No, and that's why this is. I'm not going to say great, because I think to be great you have to, you know, either compete or win a World Series.
Yeah,
this is a really good team because they're not relying on one superstar. They have a Riley Green. They have a Tarek Skubal, and those guys have stepped up. Riley Green yesterday, Tarek Skubal on Sunday when needed, but at every other point, you could say, okay, it was Javi Baez at times. It was Spencer Torkelson at times. It was Zach McKinstry at times. It was Akil Badu in the field. Jace Young. It's Trey Sweeney. It's you go down the list, and you're not relying on any one guy, but any given day, somebody has been able to step up and produce.
So you were very careful with your word choice there, so I'll do the same. I can't call them a special team because special teams do special things, but they have special quality.
They return punts and stuff too, right?
They kick field goals and coffin corners and those things. But this team has some special qualities.
Yes.
The biggest being their resilience. Because, John, they have not had a losing streak more than 3 games. There is no injury that sinks this baseball team. They've got reinforcements. They've got even little bit players like Akil Badu, who you brought up. Like guys who just in spurts give them exactly what they need. Zach McKinstry may be the patron saint of that, right? I mean, this guy is a utility player. You need me to play third base? Great, I'll play third base. They really still don't have a third baseman on this baseball team. They're just kind of making it up as they go. If Parker Meadows comes back, I bet you Javi ends up more at third base. Like, they're just kind of figuring it out. Now, at the deadline, they'll have a chance to put some stakes in the ground and make some big moves. But they're figuring it out.
And we're coming to the end of the school year. Everybody's looking at their report cards. You look at the report card for the Tigers, there's a lot of A's and B's. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the first semester, you look at it and you say, well, you know what? Hey, there was an F. Started the season with an F. But it's a long season. It's a long semester. You find a way to claw your way back to a respectable grade. And then, you know, I'm not going to call the Cleveland series an F because they did end up winning a game, and Tarek Skubal had a special performance. So maybe that's a D+.
C-, whatever, yeah.
But you look at their record, and there's a lot of A's, a lot of B's. They're just very consistent at being a good team. And consistency through 162, I mean, that it's like a slow water drip, right? They are just filling up that glass. They're doing what they have to do to put themselves in position for success.
Yeah, and we were huddled up before the show, and we realized there's still 100-plus baseball games here, right? But when you say that, it could be kind of daunting. I don't feel that way with this baseball team, because things will pop up in the next 100 games. Someone's going to go on a slump. I mean, you could even look at Torque right now and go, he's striking out maybe a little too much. But they're not sitting there relying on one guy. And I have faith that Torque's going to have a hot stretch in the next 100 days as well.
Yeah.
And they can pick each other up. They've done that incredibly well. They've built a cushion too. That's the other thing, right? Yeah. I mean, for a team to come up and dethrone them, it's going to take a little bit.
It's going to take a run. And when I talk about the Detroit Tigers being consistent, what happened to the Twins at the start of the season?
They got hot.
Well, no, they started slow. And the Tigers have just always maintained a certain level. The Cleveland Guardians, it was kind of the same thing where, like, in terms of run scoring, they just haven't been able to put the bats together. They've had some injuries. Kansas City, they've had a couple of injuries, and they've really struggled at the plate. Pitching has been good. But there's not a team in this division, Twins, Guardians, Kansas City, where you look and you say, through 56 games, no one has been as consistent as the Detroit Tigers.
Think about this, too. The Twins had that stretch where they were hot.
Yeah, 13 in a row.
And what do they have to show for it?
Yeah, they're still five back.
Staring up all the way at the Tigers.
I mean, the Guardians have kind of done this. You want to talk wizardry, smoke and mirrors with a negative run differential. You're hoping something's got to give there. they found a way to win too, and they're still neck broken looking up at the Tigers right now because Detroit, despite all of that, has just been so consistent and they have the best record in all of baseball. Hey, I mentioned the deadline, and we still have 2 months. There is a blockbuster proposal out there, and it's good to be mentioned in those discussions. We'll get to it at what, end of the hour. We'll touch on it because I want to know if you do this deal, and I want to know if it's the best use of those blue chip prospects. The Tigers have five top 100 prospects. Scott Harris has said we are willing to give up some of those guys for the right piece.
But which ones and how many of them?
Exactly. So we'll get to that end of the hour. We are under 100 days until the NFL season. John, that's what I'm saying.
Double digits.
That's right. 99 as of today.
Pull that Lions gear back out. I hope it's back out yet. I mean, we had that topic, right?
Yeah, Greg's wearing a Lions hoodie today. Yeah. He's dialed it. He knows what's going on. We're inside 100 days.
Heather, has Colin pulled the gear back out yet?
He's been sporting some of, it has come back out of the closet.
He's coming out of the little hole that he climbed into, that a lot of Lions fans climbed into. The hibernation is over for the Lions gear.
Don't peek out too early now. Remember, that's still 3 months.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I like going from 100 to 99, going from triple digits to double digits gives me some hope. Don't steal my hope. The rain will come later today. It doesn't have to come at 6:13 in the morning.
We'll get to the defining storyline of this Lions season. And by the way, fans suggesting NFL rule changes. That's at 6:35. We'll get verdicts on these proposals from the fans, and we want yours as well. It's all coming up this morning. It's 97.1. All right, guys, if you're injured in a car accident, the law firm you decide to handle your case makes all the difference between getting fully compensated and struggling to pay your bills. I want to tell you about a law firm that truly cares about you, and that's KG Law. I know Lawrence KG. I know his team. It's true. They've got an experienced staff. They don't cut corners. They've staffed up with experts, lawyers who focus on specific areas of the law to handle your situation. Phone number is 877-KG-CARES. You can look and see what I'm talking about online, kgcares.com. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com, kgcares.com. Of course, from Dan Dickerson.
Yeah.
Of course, his first at bat of the year. You don't even have a second to dwell on Vierling being hurt. Here's Perez going yard, and the Tigers respond, winning another series, and they'll go for the sweep today at 110.
And it's okay. It's not a shot on Matt Vierling, right? He's been struggling with an injury. It's no shot on him. Oh. It's no shot on Parker Meadows. But it's kind of we're at that point where, when a guy goes down and another guy comes up like Wenciel Perez, and he does that, you're kind of like, well, who are they missing? Who was that? And Parker Meadows, with the way that Javi Baez has played in center field, and again, not a shot on Parker Meadows because we know he is a dynamic center fielder, but it's kind of like, who? And that's because guys have been able to step up, and not necessarily, they're not trying to make you forget about those that aren't here.
No,
but you're trying to make you forget that this is not the starter you envisioned you would have.
You don't mope.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Like, damn it, Vierling's hurt. We're counting on you're.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no moping.
There's no moping because the guy steps up and plays well. And the idea was, well, Vierling can play everywhere. You know who can play center and third? Javi Baez. Like, it's weird. Like, they have the answer before the problem even comes up. Look, they're having a great start to the season, and they have the makings of a team to survive the whole thing wire to wire. We're under 100 days to the NFL season. John, you have some fan-suggested NFL rule changes. We'll get to those at 6:35. Yes. Going to have you present those, see if they're missing anything. We'll get to the biggest storyline for the Lions inside 100 days. OTAs are underway today in Allen Park. We've got a Tiger blockbuster trade discussion. It's always good to be included in these discussions, and the Tigers have the prospects to pull it off. Is this the move, the best use of those blue chips? We'll get to it end of the hour. Last night, we had the Pacers and the Oilers win, both taking commanding 3-1 series leads. John, my question to you before we get to Heather's news, are both series over?
Kind of feels like all the series are over. And it feels like we know who is going to be in the NHL finals. It feels like it's
No upsets the rest of the way. You think this is going to hold? No one's digging out of a 3-1 deficit.
No, they're all 3-1.
Yeah.
And the reason that everybody starts talking, okay, we're in stave season, right? Everybody is trying to stave off elimination, and all four matchups are in a stave situation. The Hurricanes.
They're done.
I
tonight's the night. They're done.
Yeah. And it feels like the Oilers have just dominated the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that one feels done. The way that the Pacers have taken on the Knicks and just honestly dominated them.
How about Halliburton? 15 assists yesterday?
No turnovers.
Yeah, no, exactly. More importantly, no turnovers.
That to me, when I saw the stat line and everybody was praising all of the high numbers, you look at the turnovers, I think the biggest reason that they have been as good as they are in the postseason is not just his playmaking ability, but it's all the ones that he doesn't force. Mm. It's the lack of turnovers. And what did we say about Cade? Like, what I think is the one thing that we would all like to see for Cade Cunningham as we learn lessons throughout the postseason of what we want to see the Pistons or the Wings or any of our teams do.
Take care of the basketball.
Take care of the basketball. You see what happens when you take care of the basketball. And then OKC, I mean, best record in baseball. I mean, basketball. You see why. Did your brother go to any games?
I don't think he's gone to the playoff games yet.
He's waiting for the NBA Finals.
Waiting for the Finals, that's right. That place is going to be electric. They have not had a champion. That's their team. They've adopted them. It's been great. If these are the Finals then, because I agree with you, I think all the series are over.
Yeah.
In hockey, we get a rematch. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a rematch in the Stanley Cup since Wings-Penguins, and those teams split, so maybe this is the moment for Connor McDavid. It's certainly starting to feel that way.
Oh, it kind of felt like maybe that was the way last year.
I know. And this Panthers team, though, is a pain in the ass. They're loaded. And then in basketball, you would get Thunder Pacers. And I know we all weep for the TV executives who will have to feature both Indianapolis and Oklahoma City. But if you're a fan, you don't have a financial stake in the ratings. The matchup itself should be a good matchup, should it not?
I don't know. Okay. I honestly, I think the way that Oklahoma City has taken on the Timberwolves, like it's been very dramatic. The fact that they have been able to shut down the Ant-Man and make him play in ways that he's not comfortable playing, I just think Oklahoma City is the most well-rounded. Like, okay, best record in the NBA.
Yeah, you expect them to win it all at this
Clearly,
point.
You could see why. And I think it becomes interesting with Tyrese Halliburton and his energy, his aggressiveness, his fiery demeanor, the way that he plays. Maybe he can make it interesting, but I just don't think it's enough. And I don't know that it's particularly competitive. It may be one of those, you know, hey, 5-game series.
Yeah. With one moment from Halliburton or right. something, but yeah. really it's just the Thunder. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the 21-year-old man convicted of brutally assaulting an elderly man in the locker room of a Farmington Hills YMCA has been sentenced to 23 months to 10 years in prison. Mark Smith was found guilty by a jury of assault with intent to do great bodily harm after the incident took place last year. We talked a lot about it when it happened. Smith and the victim were in the locker room, and the victim had asked Smith to turn down his music. That's all that took place, and that's when Smith turned violent, attacked the victim, leaving him with brain damage, and now he is unable to do most of the things that he had loved doing on his own. Multiple members of the victim's family were there in court yesterday, gave really emotional statements, basically about the impact of this attack on the victim's life. Sad to hear, you know, what he's going through. Just like, you know, they talked about, oh, he loved to golf. He loved to be active. He loved to go out with his friends and eat dinner. And those things that were just taken away from him.
Robbed him of his life.
Yes. Smith was also there, gave a statement as well, apologized to the family. But we'll be doing lots of time behind bars. An Oakland County couple celebrated their anniversary with a $2 million lottery win this year.
Oh.
What a way to celebrate. So the couple says that they like to play different scratch-off tickets, and this is just something that they do. And they had purchased a ticket in Auburn Hills on their anniversary, scratched it off, won $2 million. Couldn't believe it, right? Like, this can't be real. Let's take it to a store and see. And oh yeah, go claim your prize. And they did. They took the one-time lump sum payout of $1.3 million, planned to buy a house, invest, and put some of it towards their kids' college funds.
How often do you play the lottery?
Very rarely.
Oh, I feel like I thought you would play it a lot.
Oh no! I mean, I once in a while I'll grab a scratch off.
Gambling, Heather says, from the guy, the accusation from the gambler himself.
Well, it's in her news a lot, so I don't know if it's like an infatuation.
Because I would like to, be this person, but I don't play enough because you have to buy the expensive tickets to win more money. Makes sense, right? Like during the holidays, I'll get like $5 scratch offs to put in people's like stocking stuffers or cards. And then I'll grab a few for myself too, just like, well, I better get one. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's
I mean, you report on the treasure hunts, and you love a nice find. But how many treasure hunts have you been on?
One.
Oh, you have.
Really? I did when I did one in my news. I did do the treasure hunt. There was one time I talked about it in the news, and
we went about it.
Did it? Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
First spot. All right.
Yes. So one. I've been on one treasure hunt, and obviously did not find the treasure. Or did I? Yes. You'll never know.
Never know.
$100,000 worth of counterfeit cash has been confiscated by Michigan State Police following an investigation that actually began a couple of months ago in Livingston County. So it was back at the end of March. Troopers were dispatched to a home in Brighton on a complaint about theft involving counterfeit money. So the victims told police that a man had bought a drone from them for $800. I believe it was like off Facebook Marketplace, something like that, right? And paid with cash. Great. Well, then later the victims discovered that the cash wasn't actually real. It was all fake. So they called police. And after a long investigation, detectives found that the suspects were buying items through these marketplaces with all of this fake cash. On Friday, May 23rd, police served a search warrant at another home in Brighton, seized over $100,000 worth of fake money, along with some cell phones, a computer. And they say numerous people could now face charges once the investigation is complete. So far, nobody in custody.
You got to use that little pen.
And that's what they said. Yeah. You can go and you can get it at Staples or your local. You do?
Yeah. You've never bought something in cash? I want to make sure that it's legit?
Never. I mean, not this, because what I'm selling for cash is like maybe $20. I mean. And it's I don't want to be ripped off. Nobody does. But,
but $800 is enough to verify
$800,
it.
Yes, $800 is a lot of money for sure. A family in Virginia can thank Metallica for saving their lives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a woman and her husband and their 13-year-old daughter. They were actually all scheduled to attend this Metallica show back on May 7th. Mm-hmm. The night before, they all thought, you know what? Let's rest up. We want to have a lot of energy. We want to have some fun. So instead of staying up and watching TV like they normally would, they decided to go to bed early. Well, thank goodness they did, because that night, a truck drove through their home directly into their living room.
Where they would have been sitting.
So they're thanking Metallica and their lucky stars, of course, for saving their lives. The daughter actually wrote the band a letter thanking them for saving her parents.
Did you see that when they did the Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech, when the concert, that they actually registered on the Richter scale?
Oh, did it really?
Yes. That's awesome. It was actually, quote unquote, an earthquake.
Wow.
Unbelievable. That is a bucket list. I have, at some point, I've got to see when Virginia Tech comes out to Enter Sandman.
Sneaky, underrated, college town, traditions, all of it. That's Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
FanDuel is the best place to find all your player props. And now you can make the smarter play in some of these NBA games with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting that over consistently, or maybe they're flirting with a potential triple-double? Get the latest stats right inside the app. You don't have to leave and see who's heating up. Once the game starts, that's when things get really interesting. You can combine your live prop bets into a same game parlay for a chance to win something big. If you don't already have a FanDuel account, it's not too late. You can still get in on all the action. You're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tigers win 3-1. They'll play again today at 1:10. Jackson Job on the bump. First place Tigers.
Jackson Job. Mm-hmm. It's a win. Can you pencil that one in?
You can.
Sweep the series?
Why not, man? This
He's been good when he's been on the mound.
And nothing phases this group, man. They get bad news with Vierling before the game, and it's Perez who hits a home run on his first at-bat of the season. You don't even dwell on it or mope about it. You just find a way to win. You lose three straight to the Guardians. Oh, here we go. Here's where they make their move. It's all going to come crashing down. Wrong. The Tigers have won three straight since. Stabilized. Still have their cushion. Still playing good baseball. AJ Hinch is going to join us this morning at 8:02. Get some of his thoughts on this ball club. John, we're going to talk about a potential blockbuster deal. Tigers mentioned one of the biggest names in baseball. We'll get to that end of the hour. You have a list in front of you.
I do have a list of rules, and these are ones that fans have come up, because we just went through the entire process of owners' meetings and what rules weren't changed at the original owners' meetings back in, what was it, February? Maybe it was early March. They were, you know, tabled, and then they were brought back in last week, and we heard that, okay, the Lions had a proposed rule change for the seeding in the playoffs. That was eventually withdrawn. The tush push, that was the big conversation. So there are some fans who have proposed, these are hypothetical proposals by fans of rules that they would like to see implemented or changed in the NFL.
Okay.
And I would like to throw this out there, 248-539-9797. We all watch the NFL games and we think, boy, this rule needs to be tweaked. Or I would love to see this rule implemented, whatever it is, offense, defense, special teams. Go ahead, text us your rule changes, give us a call, let us know what yours are. And I'm going to give you four right now that have been proposed by fans. Number one, O-linemen don't need to report. Now, this one certainly hits home after what happened 2 years ago in Dallas. But O-linemen don't need to report. If they line up end of the line of scrimmage, they are in a tight end position, they are eligible. It should be up to the defense to make a simple number count.
To diagnose the formation.
Yeah. And this would, because what did we hear? I don't even know how many years ago it was. Tom Brady was still playing because he complained about the numbers on defense. Well, how am I supposed to know
if
this is a defensive lineman, this is a linebacker? Well, look at the at the guy, right? Okay, he's 350 pounds. Defensive lineman.
Looks
I don't
like
care
a
if he's a one or a zero. It doesn't matter. All right. This to me seems like if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
What I like about that is the complaint back with Dallas was, well, it's not fair to us because you misreported. The refs misreported.
Yeah.
Take that off the table.
Yeah. Take it off the official's plate. You just simply, if you want to line up Penei Sewell at a tight end position, because he's just that good of a damn athlete.
Or quarterback, because apparently he's got the best arm on the team.
Okay.
According to some.
This is, I mean, you could, whatever.
Anyway, I'm in favor of this. You're in favor of this.
I'm in favor of this as well. The second one, defensive holding is no longer an automatic first down. We've talked about this one.
This
was actually proposed.
Yeah.
But the fans are 100% behind this one. Number three, and this one I think would be good. And I have a proposed rule change as well. This would kind of go along with it. Make roughing the passer more lenient.
But how? That sounds good, but it's a discretionary decision.
Well, yes. And so I'm going to go ahead and give you another one where we saw Brian Branch ejected from a game because of a helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yep.
I think there should be a panel of five former NFL players. As we review, you know, like, okay, they send it back to New York to review. Is this, you know, whatever the review is this a catch, not a catch? Have five former players and make it up of different positions, different eras, and allow them to determine intent. I don't think that somebody who's never played the game can do that. And are they going to get it right all the time? No. But I would like to see them determine intent. If you are sacking a quarterback, he just gets rid of the ball, and you're a 350-pounder with a number one on, and you, your body weight falls onto a quarterback. It should not be a penalty. You cannot expect a guy of that mass to, one, stop a moment before he hits a quarterback, or to shift in midair, not to fall on a quarterback. I think a group of former players could diagnose that one in a heartbeat and say,
that's the key, though. I don't need five guys arguing for 3, 4, 5 minutes after a play. Like, let's get back
there's a
out
shot
there.
Clock on these reviews. Okay. And we could implement that as well, as shot clock on the reviews.
No longer than
30 seconds. Don't bring out that little postage stamps for the officials. They're not looking at anything. Take it to New York or LA, wherever they've got all of the video cameras and all the reviews. Take a look at it, make a determination, right or wrong, this is it, and get the game moving.
Okay, because that's one of the things I had written down is we got to have expedited replay across sports. The NFL's not any different. Once they put themselves in that little, what's it called, where they're looking into the watch the replay,
yeah,
the tent, whatever.
The red hat comes out and they stop playing.
Once he starts looking, 30 seconds is enough time to see the play 4 or 5 times from a couple different angles. Make your best call, dude, and we're moving on.
Yeah.
Use the technology, but let's not sit there and rely on it and sit there to the millisecond. And if we don't know, we don't know. But sacking the quarterback. What really gets me is when a quarterback still has the ball, is tackled, and then it's called anyway.
Right.
It's not unnecessary roughness to tackle the ball carrier.
Right.
It's one thing, hey, he got rid of it, and then 1-step, 2-step, 3-step collision course.
Yeah.
But I hate it when the quarterback still has the ball. He is going to be hit. This is football. He's going to be hit hard when he has the football. It's within the rules.
Or when Patrick Mahomes is running and he fakes going out of bounds and comes back in at some point, hey, you just nail him. And that's where I think former players would be able to say, okay, that's on Patrick Mahomes. That's not a penalty. The Brian Branch hit. All right, it may be helmet to helmet. And that's a 15-yard penalty, but it's getting rid of the ejection. Now, there are ones, Vontaze Burfict, when he would hit helmet to helmet, there was clear intent that he was trying to harm, maim, and kill an opponent.
What was
maybe not kill, but.
Well, Vontaze Burfict, it may have been kill. What was the last fan proposal?
The last one was eliminate forward progress. And I kind of like this one, too.
I don't know.
Where, I mean, we see this all the time, right? A player is running forward. All of a sudden, they're stopped. They get pushed back. But then all of a sudden, they bounce out. And I just think wherever you're down, you're down.
I don't mind forward progress. Of the four, that's the one I
have. Yeah, that one's a little bit harder to enforce because then when do you determine that he's down?
One I don't like that normally comes up in this discussion, I don't know if it's been ticket text, so I'm sorry if I'm stealing someone's thunder, is the offense fumbling the ball out of the end zone and it meaning the other team gets possession. I don't like that.
At the 20-yard line?
Yeah.
It's a touchback.
Yeah, the defense didn't recover the ball. So I don't know why the defense now gets the ball.
Well,
if the offense fumbles anywhere else on the field.
The defense uses the sideline as their 12th defender back of the end zone
what
as
happens
their
if 12th you fumble,
defender.
What happens if you fumble off the sideline? Does the defense
get
the ball?
It's out of bounds.
Yeah, but the defense doesn't get the ball.
Yeah, but the end
the
zone
offense
is special.
Stays.
End zone is special for a lot of reasons. One, you score touchdowns.
The defense needs to take the ball to get the ball. And I get
so
it.
So do they get the ball at the 1-yard line coming out?
I actually would be okay if you punish them and said you got to go back to the 20.
But you get the ball?
No, the offense stays with the ball.
No!
Yes.
Come on, they fumbled it!
Yeah, but the other team didn't recover it. Now, you don't want to reward them by saying you fumble in the end zone, you get it at the 1. I'd say, fine, I'm penalizing you. You touch it all the way back to
that's ridiculous.
The 20. Okay.
That's ridiculous.
You guys can submit yours. 248-539-9797. This is what I get for thinking outside the box. Texter says you shouldn't have to declare an onside kick. You should be able to do it anytime you damn well please.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue, though, is with the new kicking formation, that's what's caused that problem. You should be able to advance a muffed punt for a touchdown, Adam in a car.
So, returner fumbles it.
Scoop, score, running into the end zone. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Sure.
I've never understood why you need 2 feet down for a catch. If it's a catch, it's a catch. If a foot is in, you're in. Pretty simple, Andrew and Adrian.
I don't mind the 2 feet down. I think they should make it universal, and that should be the rule in college football as well.
Speaking of the difference in the two sports, Texter says pass interference should not be a spot foul. It should be like college, a 15-yard penalty.
I am mixed on that one. I do understand that it, because so many rules benefit the offense. We already talked about roughing the passer, and you can only hit a defenseless receiver in certain positions. That's why I don't like the whole Brian Branch ejection. Is it a penalty helmet to helmet? Sure. I don't like the ejection. But the pass interference,
it's too punitive to get 65 yards on a penalty.
Yeah, but if you get beat and you just tackle a guy because the ball's there, then, I mean, it's
you got to live with one.
Yeah, I don't know. That one, if they changed it, I wouldn't argue. If they kept it, I'm not arguing.
So I'm with you guys. I hate the reward most of the time, but you can't obviously, like, J-Mo's wide open by 2 feet and somebody dives and sweeps the leg.
Yeah.
You know?
So, two tiers of pass interference?
I asked Greg, and I think he's right because it's too much legislation, but it would be very similar to you'd have pass interference and then intentional pass interference.
Kind of like intentional fouls in the NBA. Actually, clear path foul type of thing.
Yeah. Or like hockey, a penalty shot.
Oh, yeah.
If a player breaks free and the ref deems that was intentional to take him out, then you give the spot foul. But Greg said that's too much legislation.
Hoops to jump through?
Yeah.
Yeah, like someone texted in, all penalties should be reviewable. I know you hate that, John. If we did that, you'd really need a shot clock.
Yeah.
The biggest rule that needs to be changed, spot foul pass interference, and they need a buzzer at the end of the play clock. No more of this double zero, and then the team still snaps the ball.
Yes, yes. You get a beat. What is a beat?
We got phone calls. We got ticket texts. NFL rule changes proposed by the fans. We want yours this morning. We'll get to a Tiger blockbuster trade discussion.
No pus. No, we don't want a pus.
No pus. No. Pusses are from infections. This team is far from infected. We want to make them stronger. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather. In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways they could show their appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, they're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why this month only, they're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on them with a select trade-in and new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as their way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. No, that's what I call a celebration. Because Verizon is proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card set within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate or postpaid ultimate plus. Unlimited Plus, premium plan $80 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
We got a Tigers blockbuster trade discussion. Mentioned for one of the biggest names in the sport. They have the trade chips to get it done. Would you do it? And is it the best use of those trade chips? We'll get to that. We're wrapping up our conversation about NFL rule changes. Fans have submitted some of their ideas after seeing what the league voted on last week. We've asked you guys to submit some. Ticket text 248-539-9797. We've got phone calls as well. Nate, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing this morning?
Good. Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I would like to see, obviously you can't question all calls throughout the game, but at the end of games, like with 3 or 4 minutes or 2 minutes left, review certain calls. Case in point, because the Lions Cowboys game a couple years ago, they got a tripping call called on them, which was actually should have been called on the Lions, and the Lions capitalized on that. And now everybody's complaining about the 2-point conversion, when actually they would have never got the ball back if the tripping call had been called correctly.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Yes, I am.
We thought that call was going a very different direction when you referenced that game.
Yeah. Yeah,
you, are you visiting or do you live here?
They don't want to accept it. After the golf interception, they'll get beat.
Are you?
They had to make up something for them to win. They got beat, man. That's all it was.
Oh, come on. Are you visiting, or do you live here permanently? how are you a Lions fan in Detroit or a Dallas fan in Detroit?
Because in 1975, my first NFL game I saw was Roger Staubach. That's how I became a fan.
Okay.
My first NFL game I ever saw was Roger Staubach.
That's a legitimate reason. I always like to find out how we get perpetrators in our midst.
Cowboy fan
tripping. But I don't disagree. I think there are...
Sure, I'd be fine with inside the final 2 minutes, even penalties or non-penalties. We could take a second under the hood, get it right.
Yeah.
Texas says kickoff rule's dumb. Fix it. Sam and Dearborn. If a quarterback runs more than 5 yards, he cannot slide.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, because if at that point, when do you become a runner?
Well, what the issue is guys giving up seemingly too late. Like split second, right. They give up. The defense is already committed. They're bearing down. They've left their feet. And then they look like the bad guy decapitating a quarterback who gave up at the last second.
Yeah, I do like when it operates at optimal efficiency, a quarterback slides and it's clear and they sure. move the ball back to where he began the slide.
Yes.
I think that's a terrific rule, it's been about a decade since that's been in place or even longer. But the slide, all right, if you're going to protect yourself, then protect yourself. But also know that if you are, I would even say it's as soon as you cross the line of scrimmage, instead of trying to determine where that 5 yard marker is for a quarterback or defender, once you pass the line of scrimmage,
you're a running back.
I don't think quarterbacks sliding in the middle, like in space, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You are protecting yourself.
Yes.
When you do it when a defender is bearing down on you, that is actually more dangerous in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you get the guy that's coming in, he's coming in too late, and then all of a sudden the impact slams your head on the turf, and now you've got a really huge concussion. Yeah. It happened to Dylan Gabriel while he was at Oklahoma a couple years ago.
And think about this. If you're a defender, you're aiming for the core. I know you can't. If you go too low, you're a dirty player. If you go too high, you're a dirty player. So you're aiming midsection. Well, where is your helmet when you're sliding? You change the target, and now you've put the target right in the defender's, it's a bullseye.
Yeah, and we know that, I mean, we say it all the time. What happens if Jared Goff gets hurt? What happens if any starting quarterback gets hurt? I understand protecting the most valuable asset that every team has is their starting quarterback. But they also have to be charged with their own protection. If you are going to take off and run, then once you pass the line of scrimmage, you're a runner.
How about this one? This is outside the box. I hate the coin flip. Make them compete. Rock, paper, scissors. I actually don't hate that. It's silly. It's kind of, but I like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not just leaving up to chance. And then, John, the strategy of it all.
Leave it up to chance. That's chance.
At least you get to pick, though. And then you have the strategy. You go,
you get to pick heads or tails.
Yeah, but you're not in control of whether it lands heads or tails. You are in control if you do rock, paper, or scissors. And imagine the strategy. You go, the Lions use Penei Sewell, and he goes scissors a lot. So now the other team has got to use their own, scouting to make a decision. John, you hate this.
I do.
I know you don't think this would happen, but it could happen.
Best out of five?
They could conspire.
Best out of three, of course.
Best out of three.
You could tell somebody what you're doing in advance. They could conspire.
Oh, like we don't want the ball, you're saying?
They could tell one, the other team could tell the guy what we're going to do so that you would automatically win the toss.
Oh, that's the issue is someone could the toss? You want to win the toss, though. Yeah, why would you ever do that?
Because I'm getting paid $100,000 on the side to do it.
Oh, come on.
But it's there. Well,
everything's there. Go paper.
You can't, once the coin's in the air.
Yeah. Hey, drop this ball.
No matter what,
here's $100,000.
To John's point, yeah, exactly.
Here, you're going in for a touchdown fumble.
Missed the field goal.
Exactly. Well, you wouldn't be able to bet on it anymore.
Oh.
Think about Super Bowl. Instead of betting heads or tails.
Yeah, you'd bet. Yeah, what does Penei Sewell pick
throw?
First?
Rock,
paper, or scissors. And what does he bet? What does he do on his second one? If it goes to three, what does he do on his third one? Could you make this a parlay?
I think you could.
Come on.
Okay. I think this is our note to move on from rule changes if we're getting into rock, paper, scissors instead of a coin toss.
I do like, that's what I like when our listeners think outside the box.
Okay, speaking of outside the box, this is a wild trade discussion, and it centers around Paul Skeens, okay? The Pirates are terrible. Everybody knows that they're cheap, and this is what they do. They cultivate great players who end up blossoming on other teams. Bleacher Report ran an article detailing seven teams that have the farm systems rich enough to make a real run at Paul Skeens, who I will remind you guys is under team control for 5 years. The Yankees and Mets were mentioned because they're big names, but they were honorable mentions because they don't have a farm system capable of giving what Pittsburgh would need.
Okay.
The teams they mentioned are the Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Cubs, Red Sox, Orioles, and Tigers. And they put together a trade proposal.
Well, it's nice to be mentioned in that group and know that your franchise is in that condition.
You're a mover and a shaker. You're winning and you have five top 100 prospects. You are in every discussion for every big name player moving forward. That's right. Exciting.
So if you can't outbid monetarily the Mets or the Yankees,
right? This is
you can
way.
Outbid that. This is how you attain a star.
Because it's not about paying him salary. It's about what it would take to wrestle him away from Pittsburgh, who shouldn't want to trade him. But they're going nowhere, and he would be attractive. Anyway, here's with a proposal for the Tigers. They'd give up their number one prospect, Max Clark. They would give up their number two prospect, Kevin McGonigal. They'd give up their number five prospect, Thyron Aranzo. That's three guys in the top 100 for Paul Skeens.
Done. And, I mean, okay, just imagine what this team could do this year and next with the, and here's why I think the Tigers could and should do this if this was reality. You've got enough young players that are producing at the major league level. You've been able to build up a war chest of valued prospects that you can replenish over the next few drafts and through trades and everything like that. But if you have Tarek Skubal as your ace, Paul Skeens as your number two, Jack Flaherty, Casey Mize, and going into the postseason with those four, and I didn't even mention Reese Olson. I feel like I'm leaving him out because, and I already threw him under the bus because we had to go witness a great performance when we were going to the ballpark.
And
I thought I was going to see Jackson
time.
Job, and then we go see a gem pitched by Reese Olson.
Why do you hate Reese Olson, John?
I don't hate Reese Olson. I love Reese Olson. But then you go into the postseason where you go from a five-man rotation to a four-man rotation, and that's your four, and then you have Reese Olson at your disposal to use however you want, either as a starter or as a you know, let's just say Jack Flaherty gives you four great innings, but we all know that in the fifth or the sixth is when he loses his A stuff. Then you bring in Reese Olson. We haven't even seen Cobb yet.
I don't know if we will.
Who knows if we do or not. But
so what you're laying out here is in a seven-game series where you only need to win four games, you could line it up where Skubal and Skeens throw four of the seven games.
Yeah,
you'd have as dangerous a pitching staff as...
as you've seen in some time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe as good as some of the
Verlander, Scherzer
staffs. Now, that team didn't win a World Series, and that would be the pushback, is this team has already very good pitching. Is the best use of quality young hitting prospects to trade them for an arm? We can get into it in the next hour. But your initial reaction to giving up three top 100 prospects for Paul Skeens, would you do it? Is this the best deal to make? It's 97.1.